The meeting will come to order. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the February 6th meeting? Representative Dominguez beat Representative Erickson to the punch, and so he moves the minutes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. Members, we have an exciting day today. We are on television, and we have the honor of Speaker Kelleher being with us because she really cares about this issue. We are not in trouble, somebody asked. Are we being watched for what we might do? She's here because her heart is here with all day kindergarten. And before we have this exciting hearing, I'm going to ask, and I see they're actually busy at the moment, but we haven't been on television since the very first day of our committee, and at that time we introduced our temporary pages, and Megan Swanberg is now our permanent page, and she introduced herself at that time. But I just so that our other page, who is now permanent, if you could go to the microphone down there so she could introduce herself and she can call her parents and say when she's going to be on. And if you could welcome members Maggie Shea. Why don't you tell us your name and say a word or two about yourself.
Hi, I'm Maggie Shea. I'm from Owatonna, but I live in Minneapolis now. And it's a lot of fun because my dad is actually a representative from 1981 to 84. So we have fun talking about it. But
oh, wow. From Owatonna, then.
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, tell him hello and congratulations about his daughter. Thank you. So we have wonderful pages, like all of our staff. And now we'll go to our full-day kindergarten, all-day, every-day, voluntary kindergarten hearing. And I'm going to call up two testifiers at a time just to save time. And so, first of all, if Karen Kelly Arivula could come up from the Minneapolis Foundation, and also Dr. Jeffrey Olson, and then you'll be in place. And then next, we'll have Dennis Carlson and Marilyn McKeehan. Welcome to the committee, and Ms. Kelly Arivula.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I am Karen Kelly Arivula. I am the interim president and CEO of the Minneapolis Foundation. The Minneapolis Foundation is one of the state's oldest and largest foundations. It is a community foundation with a collection of funds and an endowment created by people in this state for the benefit of all of our communities. Despite what you might assume from our name, we are a statewide institution. We partner with communities, nonprofits, educational institutions, private individuals, citizens groups, and business to address our most pressing community problems. We are governed by a diverse board of trustees that represents nearly every facet of our community. Throughout our 95-year history, the Minneapolis Foundation has invested in efforts to promote educational excellence in Minnesota. Numerous educational organizations, from preschool programs to post-secondary institutions, have received support through our donors and our competitive grant processes. Since 2002, we have awarded more than $2 million in grants to organizations seeking to improve the K-12 system and over $1.3 million to organizations seeking to strengthen early childhood education options. Like you, we seek to fund the most effective solutions. And through our grant making and work in the community, we learned about the power and the promise of all-day kindergarten. The Minneapolis Foundation Board felt the information on all-day kindergarten was so compelling that it voted to actively advocate and support all-day, everyday kindergarten. By approving all-day, everyday kindergarten in Minnesota, you will create a policy that gives every student the same opportunity. It can help close the educational achievement gap. We invested in gathering the research and have made it accessible through the brochure that I understand that you all have available to you. This brochure has been distributed to more than 4,500 educators, parents, and community members, and has been downloaded more than 1,100 times on our website. Our website also has additional resources and updates on all-day kindergarten. I would ask you to note that this brochure was prepared in the early spring last year, and the 2006 numbers, which have become recently available, are not reflected in this brochure. Obviously, the numbers have changed since that time. Today, not all districts that want to offer all-day, everyday kindergarten can, because with the current half-day per pupil reimbursement, they cannot afford to offer it to all children in a district. That means that some children in our state are getting a rich all-day education, and others simply are not. Yet these children all show up at first grade together, and not everybody is ready. This is not fair to our children. There are compelling arguments for funding all-day, everyday kindergarten, and the Minneapolis Foundation is advocating for investment in all-day, everyday kindergarten statewide because research shows a number of things. It shows that all-day, everyday kindergarten promotes higher academic achievement. It reduces achievement gaps between students of different economic and racial and ethnic groups. All-day kindergarten decreases costs by reducing the need for additional help in later years. A great example of this is in the Clearbrook Donvick School District, where Superintendent Diane Lessey says that with all-day, everyday kindergarten, special education referrals have dropped to almost none in the first grade. This is evidence that this is not just an urban issue, but also a rural and a suburban issue. All-day kindergarten also contributes to increased school readiness. Children deal with the transition to first grade more readily, they better understand appropriate behavior, and they have stronger learning skills. It also improves student attendance. When children are in class more, they obviously spend more time learning. And all-day, everyday kindergarten supports literacy development. Children show faster gains on literacy and language measures, and this can be especially an important boost for English language learners. And all-day kindergarten promotes children's social and emotional development because they spend more time in a structured environment working in groups with other children. In addition to a strong research base of support for all-day, everyday kindergarten, there's clear evidence that Minnesota lags behind the rest of the nation. 30 states provide a full day's funding for all-day kindergarten, including Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arizona, who just passed statewide funding for all-day kindergarten. The problem in Minnesota is that there is a financial disincentive for Minnesota schools to offer all-day, everyday kindergarten, even though we know all-day kindergarten works for kids. In Minnesota, we're a patchwork quilt when you look at our support for kindergartners. Among the 312 school districts that offer all-day kindergarten, some offer it on alternating days, some offer it 3 days a week, and some offer it all-day, every day. Another 48 districts pair half-day kindergarten with a fee-based extended day program for parents who want and can pay for an all-day experience. This creates an uneven playing field for many parents. If you cannot afford the monthly fee, your child cannot have access to the same all-day experience as their peers. Often the children most likely to benefit from all-day, everyday kindergarten, those from disadvantaged backgrounds or those with limited English skills, are least able to access all-day kindergarten. With the exception of a few targeted state-funded programs, Minnesota schools must cover the costs for all-day kindergarten. These schools are pulling dollars from other important programs, and in tough budget years, they are often not able to sustain the investment in all-day kindergarten. For example, in the Kasson-Manterville School District 204, they had all-day, everyday kindergarten for 3 years. But then they ran out of money, and now 150 kindergartners are in half-day. Many parents who would like all-day kindergarten are unable to enroll their children in it. There simply aren't enough openings in districts with all-day kindergarten, so there's often a waiting list. In other cases, parents will actually leave and enroll their children in another district if it's possible to get all-day kindergarten. It comes to this. Less than half of Minnesota's kindergartners attend all day, every day kindergarten, and the families of one quarter of those who do are required to pay a fee. I want to close with an email that I received from a parent this morning at 9:30. It says, "Hello, I'm wondering if you could help me. I live in the Brooklyn Park area, which is the Osseo School District. My daughter is attending Woodland Elementary half-day kindergarten. She is struggling academically. She attended preschool half days for 1.5 years, hoping this would help. Our school only offers all-day kindergarten on a fee basis. We cannot afford this right now, let alone the fact that there are no openings in our school program. I'm wondering who to turn to and what to do. One of our other children also attended half-day kindergarten and has struggled since then. He is now in third grade. I strongly believe kids need all-day kindergarten in order to be prepared for the higher grades. Can you please give me any advice?" Our current state policy and funding systems effectively shut the door on many children like these who need or want all-day kindergarten. Minnesota, we believe, should fairly compensate districts when they offer this proven program and fund all-day kindergarten at a full-day level. The research is clear, the situation is unfair, and the answer is straightforward. And today we're in a position to change this. The solution for Minnesota is to provide universal access to all-day kindergarten by funding it appropriately at a full-day level, so that all districts can provide the same access to all-day, everyday kindergarten free for every child who wants it. Parents who choose a half-day option for their children should still have that opportunity, but the choice for an all-day, everyday option must be available for all children. The Minneapolis Foundation urges you to make universal all-day, everyday kindergarten happen in Minnesota this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And members, you do have this very nice brochure from the Minneapolis Foundation in your folder. And later, after we've heard from all the initial testifiers, before we go to the bills, we'll go through the packet that you have in your folder that has the current information about all the statistics, because Ms. Kelly Ariwula mentioned that these are printed last year. So, are there any questions, members? All right, very clear then. Dr. Olson, if you could identify yourself for the tape, and then welcome to the committee.
Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeffrey Olson. I'm the superintendent of schools in St. Peter. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. In St. Peter, we've had all-day, everyday kindergarten funded by the school district since the mid-1990s. I'd like to share with you some of the results that we've seen during that time period. I'd also like to share with you a perspective from 20 superintendents who I had an opportunity to visit with this morning about this issue. First of all, reasons why all-day kindergarten exists in St. Peter. We see more single-parent families. We see more children in preschool programs who are ready for full days away from home. We see more dual-income families who need all-day programming for their young children. And most importantly, we're seeing increasing numbers of underserved students in our schools. The students have greater needs and really benefit from all-day kindergarten. The achievement gap gets closed. What we've learned: first grade readiness has increased for more children with all-day K. Teachers report, without failure, that more children exhibit more independent learning. They also report significantly greater progress in literacy, math, and general learning skills. 2 weeks ago, I had an opportunity to be in a second grade classroom. This was with a veteran teacher, and the students were working on research projects. Second graders, mid-semester, working on research projects using a graphic organizer, writing a sloppy copy, or what we would call a rough draft, and then a final copy. And I was amazed, and I asked the teacher, "Would this have been possible prior to all-day K?" She said, "Absolutely not. This is amazing." And it was a really cool thing to see for a superintendent of schools. We've been administering the NWEA Measures of Academic Progress Assessment over the past 3 years. Over the past 2 years, we've been giving that to our first graders. And in the fall of first grade, across the board, our students score above the national average for the scores on the MAP assessment. And we also know, and we've learned, that having appropriate reading and math skills by third grade equals a much greater opportunity for success in future grades and in future learning opportunities. Now, our costs are paid for, as I mentioned, by the district, and that costs about $210,000 a year in our district. In my old world, as an advanced placement government and economics teacher, I talked to the students a lot about opportunity costs. What do you give up when you put your resources elsewhere? Well, what we give up, I believe, are larger class sizes in our upper grades. We give up resources that we have to have the fund balance that our auditors recommend. So we have to go back to the voters and seek operating levies. And we've done that several times. Part of that, our voters have said, is important in passing to fund all-day, everyday kindergarten. We have to focus on early learners as much as we can. And in addition to that, we give up our opportunities to work with ELL students to a greater degree and to fund things like middle school help programs in reading and mathematics. I'd like to close with just a story about those 20 superintendents that I visited with this morning. I'll give you three perspectives. Ed Waltman, the superintendent of the Mankato Area Schools, 7,000 students. Several years ago, they instituted all-day kindergarten in their most needy schools. And he reports that the gap between the neediest students and the other students was closed significantly, to the point that they now offer all-day, everyday kindergarten for all of their students. Keith Klein, the interim superintendent in St. Clair, when asked why all-day K, he said, you know, it's the opportunity that we have to get at all of the students with our early learning programs. Well, we all believe that early childhood programs are very important and we want to support those to the extent we can. We don't get at all the students like we do with all-day, everyday kindergarten. And then Todd Meyer, who's the superintendent in Nicollet, they have about 350 students, grades K-12, said that they've had all-day, everyday kindergarten in Nicollet for 30 years, and it would be the last thing that their community would allow them to cut. So I would urge you to move forward with all-day, everyday, fully funded kindergarten on a voluntary basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Olson. Representative Heidkirchen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I enjoyed the discourse here and the presentation of both. Ms. Kelly brought up some of the issues that are of major concern throughout the state of Minnesota. And you brought up the issue, I know when you brought up Mankato Nicollet, and Representative Dorn used to do a very good job of representing the district down here. He used to have good discussions, and him and I used to get in. Mankato has been for years the number one school district in results and school readiness. But they've got a very good program in Nicollet and very familiar with it. But you hit upon an issue, Ms. Olson, Ms. Kelly, in regards to Case and Manorville. We're seeing school districts like that cannot afford it. And what happens when that happens, Representative Dominguez, they don't have the money to do it, so it's not going to be there. Representative Mariani, you had a couple meetings on the achievement gap. And if I remember right, the one thing that I got out of that more than anything is that the school districts that had all the everyday kindergarten addressed that issue. They were doing much better than the school districts that did not have it. It was the number one value-added component of addressing the achievement gap. With that said, is my concern is, and I think we need to do it statewide, otherwise we're going to see, as you mentioned, the Case in Manorville where they can't afford it, and you're going to see school districts left behind, especially when it comes to the achievement gap. There are some studies done that you're going to probably hear, contrary to all-day, everyday kindergarten, the Arizona report, among others. But then again, that's something that we start labeling. What I liked about the value-added, you mentioned Gondik, I think was one of the school districts there, that brought down the number of their first graders, the end of the first grade, almost to zero students that were designated special ed. And I think that is very important. And Representative Grady, when I had a discussion on that yet this afternoon, we're hoping to thing in the school district that's done very well, addressing where we lose the students in the second and third grade, we tend to lose some. We need perhaps an infusion of money. We need to get those students that all of a sudden are being left behind in first and second grade to keep them off the bubble to probably, and some school districts are doing very well there. I think the statewide average on and the fastest growth component in education is special ed. I think it's running about 14% statewide. The federal government said they're going to come in with all that money, and of course they're paying only 17%. But it's something that this is an early intervention program. And all day, every day, kindergarten, and I agree with both of your presentations, very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Didn't sound like a question, but an affirmation. It must be doing some good to have Speaker Kelleher here today. Thank you, too, very much. And now if we could have Dennis Carlson and Marilyn McKeehan. Whichever one is going first, please identify yourself for the tape and proceed, and welcome to you both.
Madam Chair, members of the Education and Finance Committee, thank you. My name is Denny Carlson. I'm the Assistant Superintendent of Anoka Hennepin. Also with me in the audience is Donna Suter, Associate Superintendent with Anoka Hennepin. And, Diana Minster Sullivan, Community Education Manager, both very active in the kindergarten option programs that we have. And I appeared before you a couple weeks ago on an overview of our Anoka Hennepin platform, and I just remind you that tax relief in the form of referendum equalization, adequate K-12 funding, and special ed go right along with all-day K in your priorities as the committee, and would remind you that those are crucial for us to have a successful year of paying the freight on the programs we already have before we add a new one.
Yeah.
But we're very supportive of, in this case, it's Representative Dietrich's bill, House File 637. And we have had an optional fee-based all-day kindergarten program, brochure should be coming around, run by the Community Education Department for the last 3 years. We started it because parents wanted an all-day kindergarten option, and the district did not have sufficient funds to offer it. So we paid for it with parent fees. And for us, that program would be about $500,000 a year, and Marilyn will speak more to that. It's interesting, I think, that the state of Minnesota is now in a similar position that we were in Anoka Hennepin. In other words, the need is there, people want it, but I'll use the governor's numbers, the cost of $320 million for the biennium for all-day K, it's going to be difficult to fund it at that level given all the other priorities of this session. The Dietrich bill, which we strongly support, would cover the 30% of the kindergarten students that we believe need it the most. And I think, just a personal note, when we started this program as a pay-as-you-go program, the Dietrich bill addresses what was our biggest concern, that the kids that need it most in the district will not receive it because they can't afford it. The Dietrich bill is using the free and reduced guidelines to make those parents that would likely not be able to afford it help them pay that cost. With that, it's an excellent program, and I'll introduce Marilyn McKeehan, who will introduce herself to you. Thank you.
Ms. McKeehan, welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Marilyn McKeehan. I'm a school principal in the Anoka Hennepin Schools. I oversee two kindergarten centers, so thank you for your time today. Well, each year in Anoka Hennepin, we welcome 2,600 5-year-olds to our 30 elementary schools, so we get that great pleasure and treat. Our program in Anoka Hennepin is all day, every other day kindergarten. That means children are either come to school on Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Thursday, with alternating Fridays. So each month, each group has 9 or 10 full days of kindergarten schooling. At the end of the year, each group has 84 days. We began this model in 2002. In 2003, through a parent survey, we discovered that we had families that wanted their children in school Monday through Friday and were willing to pay a fee. So in 2004 school year, we opened a fee-based Monday through Friday program, running those programs through community education. And in your brochure, everything under the yellow band is run through community education. So the all-day, every-other-day program, and then three options that families could choose to go to school Monday through Friday. If we look at the kindergarten extra program through community education, that feels like the all-day, everyday kindergarten. That's the 19 to 22 students with one certified teacher. And in our 30 elementary schools, we offer these programs in every year from 5 to 9 sites. So we just finished enrolling our students for the 07-08 school year. So we have 326 out of our 2,600 families that have chose to come to school in the kindergarten extra model. And in that program, we do offer 20% of the openings for a scholarship, and that scholarship is a sliding fee based on families' free and reduced lunch status. Even though we offer 20% of those seats, and this year that would have been 60 students, could have come into that program on a sliding fee. We only had 19 or 6% of our families taking advantage of that. The year before we had 8 students on a scholarship, so 3%. So while we have those opportunities, and I'm the person who runs the kindergarten hotline in the district, and what parents tell me that even with the sliding fee, even if you take that $2,700 and cut that in half for a family qualifying for reduced lunch and half again for free lunch, that $675 per year or $75 a month is too much for a family qualifying for free meal status. So that's been our experience in the Anoka Hennepin schools by offering the scholarships, and it certainly aligns with Representative Dietrich's bill.
Thank you very much. And if there's any questions, we might call you back when Representative Dietrich presents her bill. And we very much, you have options for your districts. We have options in this committee with the bills we're hearing for all-day kindergarten. We're glad the speaker's here because the more money we get, the bigger the option we pick. Representative
Dabney. Hi, Madam Chair. Question for the testifier. I'm looking at the different options that you provide families, and I'm wondering how that impacts first grade, where you've got students, I would imagine, coming in, some of whom have been in half-day kindergarten, some of them have been in half-day kindergarten and half-day child care, some of them have been in full-day kindergarten. Does that impact the diversity of school readiness as it hits first grade, and is that a challenge then in terms of either staff development or training or performance for the students in first grade?
Ms. McKeon.
Well, like I shared with you, we have 2,600 students in our every other day program, and 326 are coming Monday through Friday in that kindergarten extra. And then we have about 300 students in that Adventures Plus, which is child care on the days the children are not in school. So 600 out of the 2,600. And as they enter into first grade, while those may look like various different experiences, one thing we've clearly outlined to our parents in this marketing is the same curriculum, and it's extended or expanded or reinforced in each program. So it's meant to accelerate, it's meant to expand into the current curriculum. So we've been careful with that because we have families that want that affirmation that they choose to go every other day, that they're going to have opportunities to.
Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair and Representative Dabney, one thing we should make clear, and I think Representative Dietrich was on the school board at the time, is we didn't choose all day, every other day kindergarten because we thought it was the best thing for kids. We chose it because we needed to make some budget cuts. And I think when you look at the number of things we offered, and Marilyn just mentioned those to you, they have varying degrees of success of getting kids of where you want to be by grade one. And generally, they have a great deal to do with available money and available staff and available resources. So as you increase that, we do a better job of getting them there. But you, as Representative Dabney pointed out, it's a wide array of students that you get by all those methods, and some coming to the country for the first time at grade one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We realize those choices that have to be made due to budgets. I'm going to hold questions now until we've heard all the testifiers, and then we'll see if there's any questions at the end. But we're, according to my timeline, we're a little behind, and we've got a lot of bills. So thank you very much. John Alberts and Dr. Candace Raskin.
Yeah.
Welcome to the committee, and whichever one's going first, state your name for the record, please.
My name is John Alberts, and I'm from Austin, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, with me is Dr. Candace Raskin, Superintendent of Austin Public Schools. And with me in spirit, about 90 miles away, are the 360 kindergartners, 17 teachers, and staff of Woodson Kindergarten Center in Austin, Minnesota. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I come here wearing a number of hats and with a number of perspectives on all-day kindergarten. As a former high school language arts teacher, I could tell you about teaching students who come to the high school unprepared. As district curriculum director, I could tell you about best practices, years of research, and how our student scores on the Gates-McGinnity assessments have increased after implementing all-day kindergarten. And you'll see that information in the packets that are being handed out to you right now that look like this. But I really come to you today wearing my most important hat, the hat of being Hannah's dad. I would like to spend some time today telling you about her experience in an all-day kindergarten and her first grade experience so far. My daughter Hannah was part of the first class to experience all-day, everyday kindergarten at the Woodson Kindergarten Center in Austin last year, an all-day center for all kindergarten students of the district. It is not fee-based, but it's for all students. It was both scary and exciting. As with any parent whose first child is attending school, it is an emotional time. But I, in all honesty, had some concerns about Hannah going all day. How would she handle it? How would she manage lunch? Would she simply get twice the amount of work? By the first month, my fears diminished drastically. And by the second conference with Mrs. Ruzek in the fall, I had no doubt that this was the right thing for her and her 390 classmates. She just didn't receive more, but she also received different instruction. At Woodson, Hannah received 120 minutes of reading time each day. She was able to participate in whole group learning with her peers, worked on visual phonics, which has helped her read today, and worked in leveled groups with students of her same ability. She also participated in leveled reading time independently. The additional time she was provided helped embed key facets of learning that have made her a reader today. This also translated in her ability to write today. In addition, she was allowed 60 minutes each day to work on math. During that time, she worked on getting number sense and patterns, worked with manipulative charts and graphs. The additional time allowed them to work with real-life examples and look at concepts in a number of ways. Today, Hannah is doing math in her head and working on double digits. Now, in a half-day situation, the time is now gone. There's nothing more you can do. However, at Woodson, Hannah spent an additional 20 minutes in a boost-up room working on exercise and gross motor skills. One of her biggest accomplishments was making it completely across the indoor monkey bars. She also spent 20 minutes in play centers working on social interaction and embedding her learning through play. For instance, she played store where she practiced her math skills. I really feel this has helped round out her time. She was also able to interact with a great variety of students at this time, as well as in class, as the additional time allowed for greater inclusion of both ELL students and students who receive special education services. One of Hannah's best friends, Stephanie, is a wonderful girl who happens to be a student who is in a wheelchair. After Hannah completed kindergarten, I had fear that the gains in growth would not carry through to first grade. However, I'm seeing today that this is simply not the case. Her teacher, Mrs. Van Pruzzi, is sharing her assessment data with us, and we are seeing that the first grade has adjusted to the new crop of students. Since they are used to working in groups and centers, they can begin doing so much earlier in the year. This allows their growth to continue. I am confident that the gains Hannah and her class made will follow them throughout their years. I'm excited to have my son, 3-year-old Andrew, have the same experience that Hannah did. However, I also recognize that what is in Austin is not the norm. This is simply unacceptable. Other students like Hannah deserve and should have the opportunity to experience all-day kindergarten every day in their own districts, and their own district should be given the opportunity to provide it. In closing, I'm a proud product of Minnesota education, K-12 and beyond. But I feel as if we are ignoring what is right and good when we are not supporting all-day kindergarten. This is an area we are allowing the rest of the country to pass us by. As a taxpayer, educator, and parent, I feel that others should be provided the same opportunity Hannah gets and Andrew will get in the future. Thank you for allowing me to tell you the story of my family's experience, the story of Woodson, and the story of the incredible staff there.
Thank you, Mr. Alberts. We wish Hannah would be here to testify, too, but I'm sure she's in school. And now that I look closer at my notes, I see that Dr. Candace Raskin, the superintendent of Austin Public Schools, is here in support, but not to testify. Is that correct?
That's correct. I was here to help answer questions, but I believe you're holding them. So.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Ann Siegel. Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Ann Siegel, Madam Chair and Committee. Good afternoon. I am an all-day, everyday kindergarten teacher at Pilot Knob Elementary School in West St. Paul. I am also the current president of the Minnesota Kindergarten Association. I'm a novice at this. I'd much rather be in front of my classroom of kindergartners than you. They're a lot more scary, believe me. I'm here today to speak to you about the importance of fully funding kindergarten as a full unit instead of the current 0.5 unit. By doing this, it will enable school districts across the state to offer all-day, everyday kindergarten to all who want it. Currently, 30 of the 50 states in the union provide funding for all-day, everyday kindergarten. They clearly recognize the benefit of this important start to a child's formal school education. I have always believed that Minnesota and Wisconsin, because that's where I'm from, is at the forefront of education, so I have a difficult time understanding why Wisconsin offers it and we do not. Why are we lagging behind in this issue? The position statement from the Minnesota Kindergarten Association reads that we endorse an all-day, everyday kindergarten program. This program provides continuity and stability in learning, access to equal educational opportunities, and developmentally appropriate curriculum that meets the main needs of our diverse student population. A class size of 17 or below is an essential component to ensure student success. This was adopted in January of 2004. As a kindergarten teacher, I started out in the half-day session, and I'm now in an all-day program. I know firsthand the benefits of an all-day kindergarten program. If our children are coming from private or public preschools that offer a full-day program, and then they come to kindergarten where there is only a 2.5-hour session, they are taking a major step backwards. That is less than half of the time they spent in preschool. Is that right? We talk that kids at risk need this program. I agree fully, because I believe that in this day and age, all children are at risk. I don't care if they come from my home, my two that have had both parents there, working and stable, or children that come from single-parent families. Every child in this day and age is at risk because of what is out there in front of them. Listen to the news. It's frightening. I urge you to support and vote for the essential funding of all-day, everyday kindergarten so all children have equal educational opportunities. I thank you for inviting me here today to talk about the children I care about so passionately. And I also invite any of you to visit my classroom to see firsthand what today's kindergarten is really like. It's not mouth, cookies, and play. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Siegel, very much. We like those milk and cookies, though. let's see. Representative Demmer, I'm going to have you have the first question when we do Representative Dietrich's bill, because I think yours is to that, and we may call back those testifiers. But otherwise, I think we'll go on to the bills. And thank you, Speaker Kelleher, for being here and showing us your support for all-day kindergarten. These bills members are all a little bit different, and to help us sort them out, we have the first green packet in your folder. It has a little bit of information about ways we can compare them. And Mr. Crow or Mr. Strom, which one of you wants to just tell us basically what we have here? Mr. Crow? Mr. Strom. Always guess wrong.
Madam Chair, members, we've tried to put together on the single sheet that's labeled voluntary full-day kindergarten options at the top a series of cost estimates so that you can see a cost for what each of the programs entails. Currently, we spend about $195 million per year on the half-day kindergarten. That half-day kindergarten, we actually fund the pupils at 0.557, and so our starting place is about $195 million a year for kindergarten pupils. The columns then on here start with the phase-in at 0.65 is the second column, and if you look at the bolded number toward the bottom that says total revenue cost, that's the one we'll pay attention to in this committee for our initial bookkeeping efforts. And you can see there, if we were to phase in full-day kindergarten over a four-year period, at the first level being at 0.65, the cost would be just under $30 million for that year. The other primary bill that you have in front of you today has a total kindergarten weight of 1.0. That's the second-to-last column. And again, if you look down to the bolded number that's across from total revenue cost, you can see that's about $143 million. So if we go fully to a 1.0 system, would be $143 million. There's been some talk of a slightly higher number, perhaps doubling the current kindergarten weight. That's the last column that's listed. I'm not sure that any bills have been introduced with this number yet, but that would be roughly $180 million if we funded kindergartners at the same level as first graders, which is with a weighting of 1.115.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. We are now going to hear from Representative Slawick, and she has a bill that is mostly in the Early Childhood Committee, which she chairs, but there's one small section that is relates to all-day kindergarten, and the other green folder that you have has got the bills that we are hearing today, and House File 170 is Representative Slawick's bill. We will not move it because it's like the bill yesterday, an unreal bill, as Representative Erickson called it, in the sense that we don't have it in this committee. So, Representative Slawick, welcome to the committee, and if you would please explain your bill so we have that option amongst all the others when we are considering all-day kindergarten. Welcome.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a pleasure to be here in front of the K-12 Finance Committee. And I, as far as a unreal bill, I haven't quite heard it turned that way, but I know what we talked about is to do a very brief testimony. This is the bill about early childhood allowances, and as part of that, there is in sections, it's 2, 3, and 4, a setting of the per pupil units at 1.2. And Mr. Crow and Mr. Strom, what we did is instead of from the 1.1, we rounded up to 1.2. So it is another option that's on the table. The 1.2 will allow all-day K to be doubled in essence, and it still has that funding set aside for class size reduction. So that's what that extra part goes for. And that is indicated in Section 3 of the bill. As you all know, and we've talked about over the years, that one of the most effective strategies for teaching kids and having them learn well is to have small class sizes. So with that, Madam Chair and members, that explains the weighting in the Early Childhood Allowances Bill.
Thank you. Very nice job. Thank you, Representative Slawick. We're going to get all the bills on the table, and then we will have testimony from the members of the audience, because I think a lot of them want to testify in general about the bills rather than each specific little detail. And so we appreciate the option you brought to us. Thank you. And next is Representative Swales. And also, she has House File 2, and I will ask you to move that bill, Representative Swales, when you get up there. And then in the audience, we also have Representative Medora with House File 140. These bills are identical, so Representative Swales is presenting. They've agreed on behalf of both of them. Thank you, Representative Medora, for being here. Welcome, and if you could state your name for the tape and then move your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm Representative Marcia Swales, and I move House File 2.
Representative Swales has moved House File 2 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And since this is our first bill that we've had moved, I will just, for the benefit of all of us, to be clear, we will not be voting on any of these bills that we do have before us today. When we mark up our bill, as we say, towards the end, before we have to finalize our bill, then we will be knowing how much money we have from the Ways and Means Committee and from Representative Murphy's committee. And then we can weigh all the options. We can look at all the wonderful bills all of you and others will bring before us. And then we'll decide what are the best priorities, the most research-based, the most supported ideas that we actually want to fund. So that's what I'll always say when someone presents a bill to us. They've moved the bill for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill, and they will actually be voting along around March. So you have to remember all this stuff. Representative Swells, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, that we have this opportunity to talk about something that I consider incredibly important for our state. Just to begin with, I do come from a teaching background. Many of you know that. I currently teach AP English at Woodbury High School and have also had the opportunity to work with students at the other end of the spectrum, those who are at risk. And I do know that why I chose to author this bill is because I believe this is the best way we can invest in our future. Our world has changed since the current half-day model of when kindergarten began 75 years ago. Investing in the state's youngest citizens should be a top priority for the House. This legislation would help Minnesota close the achievement gap and give kids the strong start to learning they need for long-term academic success. Currently, voluntary programs in Minnesota serve only a fraction of the state's 65,000 five-year-olds. While some 200 districts offer some form of voluntary extended day kindergarten, Minnesota has already fallen behind 29 other states that already fund full-day kindergarten as part of a comprehensive system of public education. House File 2 increases the kindergarten pupil weight from 0.557 to 1.0 pupil units beginning in fiscal year 2008 for any student that attends kindergarten in a full-day program. The bill is voluntary. It does not require a school district to offer full-day kindergarten, and it does not require parents to send their children to full-day kindergarten programs. Providing universal access to all-day K would ensure that families who want it can get it, and those who prefer half-day K can still make that choice for their child. The bill has a revenue cost of about $143 million per year, assuming that all students attend full-day kindergarten programs. I view this as a bill about the future. It is an investment in long-time life success. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Swales. And members, we'll have questions from the members before we hear the testimony, after we get all the bills from the table, but we'll have the presenters stay from their seats when we have the questions, because there aren't that many microphones up there. If there are any for Representative Slawick, however, we'll have her come back. Representative Morrow, House File 76, and you can, or 78 rather, and you can move your bill when you make it to the microphone after identifying yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Terry Morrow. Members of the committee, I move House File 78.
Representative Morrow moves House File 78 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Proceed, please.
Thank you. And I will try not to be repetitive. I brought this bill in part because of my experience as a school board chair. As a school board chair, we ran two operating referendums in a five-year period in order to pay for some items, including all-day, everyday kindergarten. Superintendent Dr. Jeffrey Olson earlier today talked about the reasons we made that decision. I'm worried about the cross-subsidy effect. We were, in school board meetings, making decisions not to run certain other programs about science, about math, about arts, physical education, and more, in order to make what we felt was the necessary investment in all-day, everyday kindergarten. Our district's voters were wonderful in their support by passing these two referenda. Unfortunately, there are other districts that were not able or did not make this decision. I believe with Representative Swales that this is an opportunity that should be afforded to all children in Minnesota. My bill is slightly different in two ways that I'd like to point out to members of the committee. On page 1, lines 1.9, you'll see on House File 78 that I include non-public children in my bill. They too would be counted as full day under this proposal. The second difference is on page 4, lines 4.22 and 4.23. This statute refers to a first grade preparedness program that exists for some districts. My thought in repealing that program was that by funding all day everyday kindergarten, we'd be achieving the same or similar goals by doing so. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Morrow. Representative Morrow. Representative Brown. If you could introduce yourself for the tape and move your bill.
I'm Representative Robin Brown, and I move House File 597.
Representative Brown has moved House File 597 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd first like to thank Dr. Raskin and Mr. Alberts for coming and testifying today. I would like to encourage each of you to take a look at this brochure that they prepared for us. It's wonderful data comparing and contrasting half-day kindergarten and all-day kindergarten and how it addresses the achievement gap. I support the testimony that was given earlier in support of all-day kindergarten at a voluntary basis and fully funding that. My bill is a little bit different from the others in that the goal is to phase in all-day kindergarten over a four-year time period. If you take a look at it, what it asks to do is, starting in fiscal year 2008, raise the weight to 1.65 for kindergarten students, and then on to 2009, raise it to 0.75, and then in 2010, to 0.9, and then at 2011 we reach a one rate for students. And my thought for this was to give an opportunity to for us to consider budget issues and the needs of our districts. And it was also an opportunity, as I spoke with superintendents and parents in the areas, the suggestion was, if we are unable to fully fund all-day kindergarten in a one-time shot, that it would be worth it to give the option to phase it in over 4 years. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Representative Dietrich. This is a very organized group, and they're very concise. I appreciate that. Lots of time for us to talk, right? Please identify yourself for the tape and move your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Denise Dietrich, and I would like to move House File 637 for possible inclusion in the House Omnibus Education Bill.
Representative Dietrich moves House File 637 for possible inclusion in the House Omnibus Bill. Please tell us about your bill.
Well, Madam Chair, in order to get the bill in the form that required, I need to move an amendment.
Okay, Representative Dietrich, it's in our folder?
It should be, yes.
Okay, let's all find it before you go on, including myself. It's right at the very end, right ahead of Representative Dietrich's bill. And it's Amendment A1. And since we have new members, the last two numbers or letters on the little string of things in the upper right-hand corner is the amendment number. So, Representative Dietrich, did you move that yet?
No, I have not. I would like to move Amendment A1.
Representative Dietrich moves Amendment A1. Could you please explain it to us?
It is a technical change. The words on page 4, line 18, after population, insert times the formula allowance for that year.
And technical amendments is code word for the staff told us we had to do it. We don't really always know why, but we just do it, and it's nothing controversial. So all in favor, is there any discussion, I should
Madam
say?
Madam Chair, just a quick question.
Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair, Representative Dietrich, does this in any way impact the fiscal data we've been given on your bill?
No.
Representative Dietrich.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions? All in favor of Amendment A1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Representative Dietrich, your
Thank
bill.
You, Madam Chair and members. Today I'm going to present another option of how we might implement all-day, everyday kindergarten. But before I present this option, I would like to make it very clear that I do go on record as supporting all-day, everyday kindergarten as a program in this state. I greatly appreciate the testimony and the testifiers that have come before me, and And so I just want to make that very clear before I go on. I believe we all understand and embrace the merits of statewide, voluntary, all-day, everyday kindergarten program. However, there are some challenges. And one challenge becomes, how do we pay for it? We all know that education dollars are limited and that we have many unmet needs in the area of education. We want to fund high-quality early education programs. We want to reduce class size. We want to eliminate the special education cross-subsidy. We have changing demographics in all of our districts. We have declining enrollment. We have a lack of technology. And we need more textbooks and other supplies. So another challenge in implementing all-day, everyday kindergarten is that there is a lack of classroom space in some school districts. For example, in the school district that I represent, we have 2,600 students that would require 100 kindergarten classrooms to implement all-day, everyday kindergarten. And for our school district, that would mean an additional 50 buildings. 50 classrooms. That might require increasing the levy lease aid, getting rid of the cap, and what that means is more property taxes in an era of trying to reduce property taxes. Now, those obstacles aside, I still do support all day, every day kindergarten, and that is why I've brought forth House File 637 as another option as to how we can meet the needs of the local school districts at a more reasonable cost. My bill would fund all-day, everyday kindergarten with a combination of student or family fees and state money. We would do so by requiring the Commissioner of Education to create a sliding fee schedule based on the family's size and the ability to pay or income. Currently, a school district who operates a full-day kindergarten program must run a fee-based system through its community education department. Under this bill, we would allow a local school district to charge a fee for the kindergarten for an all-day, everyday kindergarten program. I would like to proceed by highlighting some major components of the bill. So I will begin with page 1, 2, and 3. And basically, on those three pages, it allows the school district to charge a fee for full-day, everyday kindergarten. On page 4, subdivision 1, it basically is more of the same. I'm not going to get that detailed. And then when we go to page, we go to section 4, in subdivision 1, it says that it authorizes a full-day, everyday kindergarten program. Subdivision 2 is the section where a sliding fee scale may be implemented based on, as I've mentioned already, family size and family income. And it also talks about the fact that we would use or want to use the already in existence free and reduced eligibility mechanism. In Subdivision 3, it is... It basically says that the school board may, I forgot what I was going to say, but anyhow, it gives some local control as to how to design the fee schedule. And it does so by saying that the maximum fee must not exceed the cost of the program. You can read it, I'm sure. And then once subdivision 4, it talks about the funding, and it basically says that that whatever whatever we decide to allocate the student as a 0.1 or and in this case a 0.1, that the fee would be subtracted from the state aid would be subtracted from the fee that we pay, and basically the 0.5 that we already pay for half-day kindergarten. So that is the essence of my bill, and I want to reiterate that the question is in my opinion, is that should we implement all-day kindergarten or not? I don't think that is the question. I think how. And how can we do it at affordable cost and keeping local some of the decisions made at the local level?
Thank you, Representative Dietrich. And you can go back to your chair. And then, Representative Demmer, you were the first questioner that I skipped. Was your question going to be for Dr. Carlson or Ms. McKeon? Or would you like to ask Representative Dietrich?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, actually, I'd really like to ask all of the presenters, because it's a question that I think is something we're all interested in. And
so
I don't know, maybe we
Demmer, this is a question for all the bill presenters now?
Actually, Madam Chair, for the presenters, not the bill presenters, but the guests.
The guests, okay. All right.
And they can pick and choose if they want to. It's subjective, I guess. First of all, I'd like to comment and express appreciation for them coming. I did have a chance to hear the Austin presentation actually last weekend, so had a heads up, and of course, I'm a little partial down in my area down there. I think Mr. Alberts may have taught one of my kids, I think, somewhere along the line, so I can testify to his background and experience and quality, I'll say. The question I have is, and we've got great data. First of all, I do support the concept of all-day everyday K. I think it's great. I think we have to work out the funding. I do have to ask, though, from a bigger perspective, two questions. Number one, do we have data, does anybody have data on the effects of all-day K versus half-day K and achievement when we get to the fourth, fifth, or sixth grade level? We've heard some testimony in the past that maybe we do see a diminished return to that when we compare those kids, and I'm wondering if anybody has any data on that, number one. And number two, the question that we may be asked to face as members, as legislators this year, if we could choose to do either more early childhood funding from a state level or more all-day everyday K, which would you choose and why? Can't
so
take both. It's one or the other, Madam Chair.
Representative Demmer has asked two questions, and he's inviting any of the testifiers, not the bill authors, but the testifiers, if they would care to answer that question. So I will leave that up to any of the testifiers who may choose to answer either or both of Representative Demmer's questions.
One break, so I'll
Okay, Dr. Raskin. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record. We got you in here after all.
My name is Candace Raskin, Superintendent of Austin Schools. I'm going to take question number two, and anyone who knows me in Austin knows that I have a tremendous passion for early intervention. If I had to choose as a superintendent, I would choose all-day kindergarten because I can bus and bring all of those children to the site. And because our community is having increasing diversity, we're able to bring those kids here. In fact, we're going to start our kindergarten program for our English as a Second Language learners July 1 next year.
Thank you very much. Anyone else care to answer question one or question number two? Okay. Welcome to the committee. Please
Madam
state your
Chair,
name for
Member
the record.
Jim Graff, Minneapolis Public Schools. So I got a handout. These are great questions, and I kind of anticipated them, and I took the kind of cutting and pasting some of Dr. Heistad's slides. So on the first slide there, basically, in the packet, in the presentation Heistad did previously with your committee, he was talking about we've seen, and I don't go to fourth or sixth grade, I think was yours, but up to third grade, we see statewide closing the gap between African-American, and I'm just using African-American as a proxy for students of color. We're closing gaps over the last 3 years with African-American students and Caucasian students in the state of Minnesota doing a good job closing the gap in reading. He posits that we don't have research positively saying this is all-day kindergarten, but correlative, not causative, correlative data suggests it's increased literacy preparation, and that slide just landed on your desk. Full-day kindergarten programs and scientifically based literacy instruction. So, I mean, we don't have like eight ball inside pocket data, which folks like psychometricians like Dr. Heistad like, but the evidence looks like it's we're doing a better job in early childhood and all day kindergarten. And we need to stress that it's not just more time on task that all day kindergarten, it's research-based literacy instruction in early childhood. So the first slide there is closing the gap, and Dr. Heist is positing it's both early childhood intervention, all day K. And we're seeing that. Some of you saw a bunch of Minneapolis school leaders in the building yesterday, and some of them were like the first generation 15, 16-year-old kids of all-day kindergarten graduates. So clearly, because of their quality, which some of you saw yesterday, we can conclude that they're doing a great all-day K, has long-term effects. The second slide there, I think, answers part of your question, Representative Demmer, about the full-day kindergarten versus full intervention versus full-day plus full intervention. So full-day kindergarten produces results, but if you have, so more time on task, good. Literacy intervention, good. More time on task with strong literacy intervention, better. And so that's from a 2002 study. And then just, again, the final slide is fall to spring 04 to 05 African American students, full day kindergarten, and again this is going to be with the full literacy intervention. It's all day kindergarten gives us more time on task. Full literacy intervention helps us get the job done in terms of closing gaps. And finally, on the question of do we want to do it in early childhood or all-day kindergarten, I want to suggest to you that you want to pull with both oars to get where you want to go, not just one oar. Okay. What if it's a kayak, Representative Murphy? Yeah. Do you want to paddle on both sides of the boat then?
Thank you, Mr. Apple. We appreciate your coming up with the answer to the question since none of the other earlier testifiers came through. I think I'm going to hold on testimony from others from the audience because these are really for questions. This period is not for testimony as much as for questions of the bill authors or the people who testified in the earlier time. But I just want to make a comment, members. Research is kind of like the Bible. You can pick and choose yourselves among the sections and prove almost anything. And I read a lot of research over the weekend that was provided to me, actually, by the Minneapolis Foundation of a variety of studies. We also called back to the University of Minnesota, because we had had them here earlier, and they gave a summary. Maybe some of this we can make copies of for others. But I just noticed that there's a great variety in the outcomes of the research. We did want to have today Twyla Wallstrom, who is doing a research for the University of Minnesota, the CARI group, and unfortunately they have... Burnsville paid for their study, and they need to present to Burnsville before they can present to the legislature, because you always present first to those who pay for your study. But that would have been a very good amount of information for us. But I just want to read from one of the pieces of research that I got from the Education States, the Progress of Education Reform, 2004. And it's about full-day versus half-day programs, and it kind of goes to Representative Demmer's question. It said there was Indiana and national data in the review of literature that they're writing about here that full-day kindergarten appears to have a positive effect on both short-term and long-term student achievement, and one longitudinal study conducted in Indiana district showed significantly higher basic skills test scores in third, fifth, and seventh grades for students who had attended full-day kindergarten. So that's a piece of research that way. As you know, Representative Demmer, some of the studies, don't show that kind of a gain later on. And, so it's we have to kind of take a variety of research, and that's why you do those ERIC searches to get a whole bunch of it before you draw any conclusions, any of us who have done our master's papers or doctoral theses. Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, just for full disclosure, Madam Chair, I have to tell you, too, that I do have a bill for all day everyday K. It's at my desk for members who want to get on, and it does fund it at 1.115. So just for full, we got the full variety that way. So it's at my desk. Anybody wants to sign up, it's up there. And secondly, a little commercial, Madam Chair, if I could, I'm the co-chair, one of the co-chairs of the Early Childhood Caucus. And for those of you who haven't had a chance to sign up for that, we are trying to spend a lot of time looking at research, analyzing the different ways we're doing it with childhood, and trying to understand this better. So I think, Madam Chair, I can say I feel strongly both ways.
Thank you. It's kind of like picking between your children. You know, I want to fund both of them, and we just have to talk to that Ways and Means Committee and Representative Murphy. Any other questions for members? I'd like to get to the public very, very soon, but if there's a really burning question, Representative Murphy.
I do have a question on the funding. When we're calculating how much it costs, are we talking about a classroom size of kindergartners? Are we talking 20 kids, 17 kids, 25 kids?
Representative Murphy, I'm sorry, you're asking me the question, and I didn't hear quite the beginning of it because I was talking to...
When we're calculating the cost,
okay,
for how much all-day kindergarten costs, how are we figuring on the class, on the amount for a classroom, and is there a difference between 17 kids or 22 kids or 25 kids, and can... A kindergarten teacher handled more than 17 or 20 kids.
Good question, Representative Murphy. These are actually based on a per pupil basis. So, the districts could still choose amongst class size. But one of the problems that districts will face, which is why we're definitely making this voluntary, is they have to have the classroom space. And so that's always a factor with, class size as well. You might want to have two classrooms, but you only have one that's open when you're making all-day kindergarten. So there's, it's even things we think we're pretty sure are right to do are still hard to do in this committee.
And local decision makers would decide whether there was going to be two teachers in that one classroom with 40 kids? Or
local control, 20? Yep. Yep, very good question. Okay, well, we have four people who have signed up ahead of time, and we'll take them first then for being so organized, and then after that, if there's time, we'll go to other people. And I have first Scott Kroonquist, and then Jan Allswiger. If you two could come up just to save time, and then I'll call up the next two. Oh, it's Renee Laura. And Mr. Kroonquist, welcome, and please identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Scott Kroonquist with the Association of Metro School Districts, and I will try not to be repetitive, but do want to go on the record as saying that AMSD does support moving to voluntary full-day kindergarten. It has been on our legislative platform actually for a number of years, and so we're thrilled that there seems to be increased momentum behind that this year. I did want to actually... I was planning on addressing Representative Demmer's questions and what you raised, Madam Chair, is the study in Burnsville with the University of Minnesota. And actually, I know the most recent report is not due out, I can't give you a report of the most recent one, but this has been going on for 3 years now, as Representative Morgan knows. And for the previous 2 years, it does show that, in fact, if you ramp up the curriculum subsequently, then you start to answer that very question about seeing the results or the benefits disappear. And, of course, the early studies, as Representative Demmer mentioned, did have mixed results, because what we were doing was we were ramping up kindergarten to full day, but then turning around and sending those kids onto the same first-grade program, that they had been in before. And it just makes sense, then, that if you don't ramp up the first-grade curriculum with the new expectations based on what the students have been through, you might see some of that benefit disappear. And so we think that the CARI results are going to continue to show that progress. The first couple years have, in fact, showed that it makes a significant difference. And then, Madam Chair, did just want to also reference that question that Representative Demmer asked, which do you prefer, 3 to 4-year-old or full day? Well, the answer, of course, is both. But that experience does show that you might want to think about ramping up 3 and 4-year-old education, but then turn around and dumping them into a half-day kindergarten program may not make sense, and we may not realize the full benefits then of that 3 and 4-year-old education efforts. With that, Madam Chair, I will stand for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's take both of you, and then we'll have questions, and then go on to the next two. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name.
Renee Lauer with Education Minnesota, Madam Chair, committee members. I'm here to put Education Minnesota on record in support of all-day, everyday kindergarten. It is on our legislative platform, and it is one of our highest priorities for this legislative session. Representative Demmer, we also support early childhood funding, but all day, every day, kindergarten has been chosen by our governing board as one of the highest priorities this session. It was not put to them in an either or double or way. You've heard the testimony, and it is said, for those of you who haven't read my notes on the screen earlier, it is said that submit written testimony as well, that there is no silver bullet in terms of addressing the public school education ills and ills of society, but this is about as close as you can get in terms of addressing a lot of our societal problems. And it does strike at the heart of the achievement gap, and it prepares kids to enter public schools ready to learn, which is something that our members are very concerned about. And then finally, I would add one more point that may not have been covered before by some of the other experts, and that is that we have a nationally recognized economist who's been meeting with several of you in the past several days, and he had noted that in his experience he's found that in one other state that he worked on, an all-day kindergarten program, they found that there were beneficial side effects in terms of mothers who are able to re-enter or enter for the first time the labor force. So this is a poverty program in more ways than one. So dollars are very well invested, and that's my testimony for today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Poonquist. The postscript.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, I did neglect one thing. And you mentioned earlier, and others have mentioned, the difficulty with classroom space being available. And we would ask that you consider, as you consider these bills, providing some assistance, actually, for those districts that do not have the classroom space. A survey we did of our member districts indicates that if we would add $25 per pupil to the lease levy authority, that would at least provide a short-term solution to help those districts that don't have classroom space right now. So thank you for the consideration.
Thank you. There's a bill idea for a member. See Mr. Poonquist afterwards. Thank you. Our next two people that signed up ahead of time are Tom Pritchard and Dr. Karen Ephraim. If you could both come up at the same time. And we'll hear from one and then the other and then have questions for both. And you can fight amongst yourselves about who will be first. Dr. Ephraim, please identify yourself for the tape and welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Dr. Karen Ephraim. I'm a mother of three children, including a kindergartner, a pediatrician, and a policy analyst for EdWatch, as well as three other national organizations. And while I want to commend the committee and the legislature for their concern for children, I just want to caution you in your zeal to do good that there may be unintended consequences, and I just want you to be aware of them as you are considering these various programs. There's been a lot of questions about research related to both preschool and all-day kindergarten. And when one evaluates research, it's good to look at the various parameters of how that research is done. Things like sample size, whether there was a pretest versus, you know, when you're evaluating full day versus half day kindergarten, whether there was random assignments, selection bias, generalizability of results, and things like that. There actually has been a very large, very well controlled study done. It's called the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study, done by the National Center for Education Statistics. It's the largest study of its kind, 22,000 children that were followed from preschool through third grade. And to answer Representative Demmer's question, they actually found that there was little meaningful difference between full-day and half-day kindergarten regarding achievement. I'll quote it. It said, quote, in terms of kindergarten program type, there is little meaningful difference in the level of kindergarten of children's end-of-year reading and mathematics knowledge. There was a slight improvement between full day compared to half day. But they went on to say, this report did not detect any substantive difference in children's third grade achievement relative to the type of kindergarten program they attended. And they also found reading, mathematics, and science achievement did not differ substantively by children's sex or kindergarten program type. So that was at the end of third grade, which talks about the fade-out effect, which you really have to look at for both the kindergarten decision as well as the preschool funding decision. And on that topic, I just want to bring up a couple of other pieces, large pieces of research. One is the looking at the international data, which shows that in fourth grade, when the effects of preschool would be most apparent, American fourth graders outscore their universally preschool peers in the European countries in reading, math, and science. It is not until eighth grade that they fall to the middle, and then 12th grade when they fall to the bottom of the international academic heap. So that honestly speaks perhaps quite more to problems in the K-12 system than it does to a lack of preschool or to a lack of all-day kindergarten. In addition, the numbers of children that have been involved in preschool have gone up significantly since 1965. 3-year-olds have gone from 5% to 42% in preschool programs, and 4-year-olds have had an analogous increase, yet all of the major standardized test scores, both national and international, have essentially remained flat at the same time that our country has tripled education spending, reduced class sizes, and increased teacher pay. So to say that early childhood programs improve academic achievement in the long term is really not a fair statement. And the last thing I want to bring up is the research on the potential harm to children of starting them in school too early. There was research done from as far back as the 1950s and 1960s, compiled in a classic work called Better Late Than Early by Dr. Raymond Moore. And he found that compared to late starters, early kindergarten starters had more problems with speech defects, nervous indications, personal and social maladjustment, lack of leadership skills, poor grades, poor reading ability, and poor attitude towards school. And this is also analogous to the recent research that has come out both from the National Institutes of Child Health and Human Development as well as Stanford University and Berkeley University, University of California at Berkeley, that found that the longer one spends in preschool programs, the worse problems there are both academically and emotionally. And that was also confirmed by a University of Quebec study. So I just want you to be considering that as you're contemplating spending millions and millions of taxpayer dollars.
Thank you. And we next have Mr. Pritchard. And just to give you an idea, we conclude this meeting in 2 minutes, and we actually have one more person, Ms. Schwab, who's, if you could come down so we could get to you more quickly. Mr. Pritchard, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the tape.
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Tom Pritchard. I'm president of the Minnesota Family Council, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak before you, and I don't necessarily want to go over the same ground Dr. Ephraim went over, but I do want to just reiterate some points. First of all, you have limited dollars as to what, you know, a limited budget. And I think the issue is, where do you get the best bang for the buck, in a sense? And I think Dr. Ephraim alluded to the study showing that the problem in education in the United States is not at the fourth grade level. At the fourth grade level, we score in higher than 58% of our international peers on math. In science, U.S. kids rank higher than 92% of their international peers. And in reading, the United States fourth graders outperform their international peers in 26 of 35 countries. So the problem isn't in the fourth grade or the early ages. It's when you progress beyond that. The eighth grade, for instance, it drops, math drops to only, we're only better than 34% of our international peers, and by the 12th grade, only 14%. In science, we drop from 92%, we go from 92% in the fourth grade to 61% in the eighth grade in terms of being better than international peers, and only 29% by the 12th grade. So the problem is not at the lower levels, it's the higher levels. And one other thing I guess I would just reiterate is the concern about the impact, the adverse impact that early childhood or early formal education can have on children. There's a study by Dr. David Elkin, who is a professor of child development at Tufts University, and he's a recognized national authority on early childhood programs, social and cognitive development of children. And he said, and I'll quote from him, he said, the image of children, child competence introduced in the 1960s was intended to remedy some of the social inequalities visited upon low-income children. But the publicity given the arguments of child competence was read and heard by educators and middle-class parents as well. For this reason, it was uncritically appropriated for middle-class children by parents and educators. While the image of childhood competence has served a useful function for low-income children and children with special needs, it has become the rationale for the miseducation of middle-class children. And what he means by that, what he's referring to is, in a sense, we're putting children at risk by early instruction of what he views as permanently damaging children's self-esteem, reducing child's natural eagerness to learn and block a child's natural gifts and skills.
Mr. Pritchard, could you finish up like in 15 seconds?
Okay, I'll just
conclude the last one on the record because time is really up.
He said there is no evidence that such early instruction has lasting benefits and considerable evidence that it can do lasting harm. If we do not wake up to the potential danger of these harmful practices, we may serious damage to a large segment of the next generation. I think the issue is we need to be strengthening families and not pushing our kids into more early education. And really the focus should be on the higher grades. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, both of you. Ms. Schwab, if you could just get on the record for the school boards real quickly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, committee members. The School Board Association supports all-day kindergarten.
Could you state your name for the record, too, please?
Yes,
sorry to be rushing you.
Grace Schwab of the Minnesota School Boards Association. We just wanted to share with you a little background on where schools are right now. We have about 62% of Minnesota schools that have half-day programs. 31% are in an all-day, everyday K situation, which is funded out of their general fund. 6% are using that half-day fee-based program, and of course some schools offer 4 days of full-time, and there's some, that's why it doesn't add up to 100%. But we appreciate the committee's attempt to do this, since truly one of the initiatives and passions for the school boards this year is to see this expansion for all children. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you to all the testifiers and to the excellent presentations from the bill office. Meeting adjourned.